Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we once again face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We're going to be talking about today the coming One World Church. The coming One World Church. Perhaps you've wondered, all of these things that are taking place, where is it headed? What's the end game? What is the ultimate goal? What can we see in the future based on the authority of Scripture? So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It's a declaratory statement about the Word of God. And yet we have today so many that are watering it down, destroying it, modifying it, and somehow, some way, feeling that they have a better plan for the Word of God than God had when He gave us His Word. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me encourage you day by day to join in the dialogue and discussion. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have this discussion. We would love to hear from you. It's always a joy and a pleasure to have you join in the dialogue and discussion, ask your questions or give your input, your insight, perhaps things that you've heard or seen and understand that we've not talked about. So we encourage you to do so. The program is designed around what I call a Q&A format, that is a question and answer, so that we can have you to join in with the comments and the questions. We can respond to you. But let me encourage you to tune in each day and call others and invite them to listen. Let me remind you also today that this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor equipment power dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to start your own landscape business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner, like brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators and a full staff that's knowledgeable with answers to your questions about backup power and generation that's needed for the hurricane season. Tools for Time. Located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road intersection, where the gigantic U.S. flag, Old Glory, is flying there at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Or you can look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. As I said a moment ago, we're going to be talking about the coming One World Church. Perhaps you've wondered how some of these things that we see taking place today and some of what seems to be chaos and confusion, what is the end result? Where is it going? How will it take place? But ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about in previous broadcasts about the great falling away, the apostasy of the church. Well, just as already pointed out in the termination of so many today, the termination of what is called the true church, when ultimately that shall take place at the rapture of the church, but 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Except there come first a falling away," or a falling away first. Ladies and gentlemen, what that text is talking about, and we discussed it in detail in prior broadcast, it's talking about the coming Antichrist stepping on the scene. But before Antichrist can step on the scene, now listen to my chronology and my thought process for a moment. Before the Antichrist steps on the scene, there must be an apostasy, the falling away. the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, we're seeing reduced in size. We're seeing it, as I would put it in the vernacular, just crumbling and becoming a shell of the real thing. I can think back 40, 50, 60 years ago when the church was packed out on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights, when people were eager to go to church, hear the Word of God, learn the Word of God, obey the Word of God. But we're finding a vast difference today in the church. It is absolutely, we're watching absolutely the apostasy, the falling away. But the Scripture is very, very clear that that falling away must take place before the God reveals, brings forth the Antichrist, the man of sin. In fact, by the way, if you're not familiar with it, the Antichrist has several names in the Scripture. He's called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He's called the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He's called the wicked one in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. He's called the lawless one in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. He's called the little horn in Daniel 7:8. He's called the beast in Revelation 13, 1 and falling, in Revelation 17, verse 8. He's called the dragon in Revelation 13 and Revelation 12. He's called the old serpent in Revelation 12. He's called the devil and Satan in Revelation 12. And he's called the Antichrist in 1 John 2:18, verse 22, and 2 John 7. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that God right now has restrained himself, as I would call it. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. There's a waiting from God, a long-suffering of God, warning as many as possible to get saved before the true church is raptured out. At the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the Antichrist, shall come forth. And with the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen, shall be the false prophet, according to Revelation chapter 13. We'll look at those verses in just a moment. But there will be the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan. In fact, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 2 and following, it says in the latter portion of verse 2, and the dragon gave him, speaking about the Antichrist, the power and the seat for his great authority. And the Scripture says in the third verse that the Antichrist will, when he comes on, by the way, now we won't be here. The Christian will already have been raptured out. These are things that prophetically that God is talking about. By the way, he's showing John. John's caught up on the Isle of Patmos. He's caught up the very portholes of glory. And God is showing him the past, present, and the future for this whole world, for the wrap-up of the world. And he points out in the 13th chapter of Revelation, in the third verse, that the Antichrist will have a mortal wound. And the mortal wound shall be healed, if you will, based on the Scripture that we find with the false prophet. They'll be able to raise him from the dead. The Scripture says in the fourth verse then, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power, that is authority, to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is able, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given him, speaking of the Antichrist, there was given him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth, and he blasphemed against God, and blasphemed the name, his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's just get it back up now and let you understand. There's coming a day when the church will be raptured out. Immediately after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will come on the scene. The Antichrist is one that will get the adulation and the fellowship and the approval of the entire world because he will be mortally wounded. He will be raised from the dead. And this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason I am adamantly opposed to so much of what you see today with the so-called signs, miracles, and wonders, because in those false signs, false miracles, false wonders, as it is performed in today's societal thinking, not in America as much as it is around the globe, we're setting the stage for the Antichrist to come on the scene, the false prophet to be able to raise him from the dead. And once the Antichrist is raised from the dead, the whole world will wonder after him, according to the Scripture. So what I'm wanting to do is set the stage and let you understand. We find the great details of the Antichrist and his power and his authority that's given from Satan. He will mock the church. He will blaspheme the church. In fact, the Scripture is very, very clear in that fifth verse, that the Antichrist will be the one that will absolutely blaspheme God, blaspheme the place of God, blaspheme the people of God. And as a result of that, he will be have a position of power and authority over the whole world. It will be a one-world dictator. We're watching the exponential rapidity of that pointing to that very day that shall take place. I'm thankful, and I pray that you are, that you will not be here if you're saved. If you said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you'll not be here. I'll not be here. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in an era where we are able to see the prophetic fulfillment of God's word. Yes, we're able to continue to be salt and light, and yet as we continue to be salt and light, we keep on realizing that we have the responsibility of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet we should not be dismayed. We should not be discouraged. We should not be deflected from our responsibility to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the, as I call it, the handwriting on the wall, where there's the coming of the one world church. Yes, there will be a one world government, but within that one world government, there will also be a one world church. Ladies and gentlemen, we see the true church today diminishing, but as we watch the true church diminishing, we're watching the false church, the apostate church. It is growing exponentially. If you don't believe that, all you need to do is sit up and take notice. The churches that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the churches that are faithful to the word, faithful to the exposition of the word, the churches that are faithful to the continuation of simply focusing on the word of God and not all the wow and all the show and shine, those are the churches that are stabilized in size, are diminishing in size, whereas those that are the show and shine. In fact, someone recently was talking about churches having, you walk in and there's a dark you cannot see, and the music is so loud that it just almost destroys the ears, and it seems to be a rock and roll show. But the rock and roll show inside the church on the basis that we have a new modern way of worship. Ladies and gentlemen, that's setting the stage for the ultimate coming of the Antichrist and the false church, the apostate church, that will bring together every denomination. Perhaps you've wondered, what happens to the church when the rapture takes place? What happens to the organization called the church? I'm not talking about the organism called the church. The body of Christ, the organism called the church, we won't be here. We'll be suddenly seized, snatched out. But what will happen in this old world with the churches, the church buildings, with the church organization? Ladies and gentlemen, I've said for many, many years, overwhelming majority of the churches will keep on having church just as they do now without missing a beat. They'll not miss a Sunday. They'll continue to be the organized church as we see it today. But there may be a reduced number at first, but I want us to understand there's coming a day when the rapture of the church takes place and the false church, the apostate church, will stand up. We'll talk about that a little later in this broadcast. We'll be looking at Revelation 17 about what is going to happen. But after the rapture, the true church will absolutely be gone. And the apostate church, the false church, the one that the Revelation 17 text calls the great whore, will be the amalgamation of every denomination, the amalgamation of every religious group, the amalgamation of all of the fragmentation leftovers from all of those denominations when the bride of Christ, the true church, is raptured out of this old world. There's coming a day when there will be a one world government, and in that one world governance, there will be a global one world church. May I remind us, a one world order will be in place with the Antichrist when he comes with his false prophet to be in full charge. In fact, in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, the scripture is very, very clear. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, one like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Ladies and gentlemen, that's speaking to the false prophet. The false prophet, when he steps on the scene, he'll be the right-hand man, if you will, of the Antichrist. He'll be able to do the signs, miracles, and wonders, and he will look like a Christian. He will act like a Christian, but he will be an absolute dragon. He speaks like a dragon, the scripture says. In other words, he'll be false, phony. He will have the ability, through demonic empowerment, to perform signs, miracles, and wonders, but he'll be part of the unholy trinity. You have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the unholy trinity, and they'll be able to perform signs, miracles, and wonders and dominate and control the whole world. But that's within the total concept of a one world government that shall take place. The false prophet will be in full charge of the signs, miracles, and wonders. He'll be able to raise the dead. He'll be able to perform signs and miracles that will cause the whole world, according to the scripture in Revelation 13, to follow after the Antichrist and follow at his beckon and call. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, most religious people, I think, would die for their religious beliefs. What signs and wonders do you think people would embrace in order to change their original way of thinking?
I don't know that I understand your question. Let me make some points, and perhaps we can get on the same sheet of music and be able to discuss it. Right now, we're seeing people. In fact, there's a so-called evangelist that has traveled the world, and he has intimated that he's been able to raise the dead in other parts of the world, in other countries. We have those today. They will have the signs, miracles, and wonders. That, in fact, there's a church that is not too far from our place here in the city they had a marquee several years ago that says signs, miracles, and wonders at every service. There are those that will say that they can have the miracle of healing. Now, I believe in healing. I believe that God can heal the physical body at his choosing. But I don't believe that it's necessary to have Benny Hinn and the television cameras and the anointing oil as they use and claim that that is the point of contact for the healing. I don't believe that is biblical whatsoever in any measure. But you'll find in the days of the Antichrist stepping on the scene, the false prophet will be able to do that very thing, which will cause the whole world to follow after the Antichrist, according to Revelation 13. Now, did that answer your question, or am I listening to your question clearly enough?
Well, it's kind of a leading question. I'm not sure. Do you have any thoughts on UFO disclosure?
Well, that's a whole nother ballgame. The question must go back further than that. Do we believe that there are other life sources, to believe God has created other planets with other life sources? And the answer to that is emphatically, absolutely not. It does not indicate anything in the scripture. When we get outside the realm of the scripture, we can get into all kinds of scientific belief systems that's out there. And there may or may not be some element of truth in some of them, but I believe there's an answer to most of them. And personally, I believe we have a lot of things taking place that the government's doing that the citizens are not aware of, that they are getting into position. But I cannot validate or invalidate any of those thoughts.
Well, I mean, do you think that the demons will impersonate aliens and sort of deceive the whole world?
Well, that's a whole nother question. Do I believe in demons? Yes. Do I believe demons alive and well on planet Earth today? Yes. Do I believe that demons can control the minds and the hearts of people? Yes. Do I believe that demons can seek to cause one to believe what is being said or done? Yes. In fact, I've used this illustration many times. If you see a person that will be the demure little person that's quiet and very kind, and then all of a sudden something happens and they scream and have all kind of vile, filthy communication and want to harm someone, you say, well, what in the world possessed that person? The term is exactly right, because at that moment, mind, will, and body was totally possessed by a demon. And so, yes, I believe demons are real. Yes, I believe demons can enter into hearts and minds of people. And as we give place to Satan, Satan is going to possess every inch of territory that we allow him to give. So with that being said, there's the potentiality of that. And we don't know to what realm. I know a number of years ago, I believe it was Merrill Tenney, wrote a book back in the 50s, 53, 54, someplace in there, titled Demons in the World Today. So demons are very, very real, and it's through demonic spirits that the Antichrist and the false prophet will have total control of the universe at the time after the church is raptured out, and Satan allows the Antichrist to step on the scene and performs through the false prophet signs, miracles, and wonders. I hope that answers.
A lot of people think that the demons imitating, an alien invasion, think that might have something to do with the apostasy. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so. I think that what we see very clearly, we have to go by what the Scripture says. The Scripture is very, very clear. At the point that the church is raptured out, the Antichrist steps on the scene. When the Antichrist steps on the scene, the Scripture is very clear. He is totally empowered. That means his authority and power is from Satan himself. Now, you can call that demonic power, because it will be. And then the same demonic power that's given by Satan to the false prophet will be able to perform signs, miracles, and wonders, calling fire down from heaven, causing the dead to rise again. And the average person, let's say, that's on looking, will think that that's, look at that, that's wonderful, that's a man of God. It's wonderful, because look at that supernatural thing that's taking place. It is supernatural, but it's demonically supernatural and not divine supernatural abilities that's taking place. So we need to be very, very careful when we embrace things that are in the realm of the supernatural. We must ask the question, as in 1 John it says, we need to discern the spirits. That means we need to determine, is it from the divine Holy Spirit, or is it from the demonic spirits? And we need to be very careful, because we have two spirits operative in the world today, and that's the divine and the demonic. Thank you so much for your call. I pray that it's a blessing to you. There's another caller, I believe, on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I really don't want to bother you, because I'm loving this broadcast, but I'm wondering how many of the listeners think that you pick up a news article and this broadcast is about that. If they would come to church and look at your books, these current events, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you wrote a book about it, what was coming, because you read Scripture, and Scripture predicted every bit of it. And I'd just like to let our listeners know that you're not a knee-jerk reaction, that you've read Scripture. Scripture tells everything, and all you're doing is you're reporting, because now it's in current events. But you've always been the cutting edge, and I just thank you for that. That's all I got to say.
Thank you so much. I'm humbled by your remarks and encouraged by them also. I enjoy research and writing. I enjoy studying the Scripture. It's a blessing to be able to open the Word of God and see how God's Word gives us the future of what is taking place and where we're going in the world. And that's one of the causative factors of what I'm speaking on today in relationship to the coming One World Church, because when we study the Scripture, we understand that after the rapture of the church, that one world governance, that one world system would be in place, and will be in place, but it will not be the church as we know it today. In fact, it was George H.W. Bush back in 1980, I believe it was the first person, especially from presidential level, that publicly spoke of a one world order. In fact, in his address, his nomination speech, or his where he was placed in, his president sworn in, I don't know which, but one of those speeches he gave, he said one world order 8 times. And today we're seeing the Socialist Democratic Party, by way of the Green New Deal that's being pushed. And the Green New Deal, ladies and gentlemen, is not about environmentalism. The Green New Deal is about pulling together a one-world global nation, one-world global society. It is pushing that globalist mindset. It is a globalist control mindset that is there. In fact, here's an article that says the United Nations wants a one-world government in less than 12 years. And it goes back to November the 5th, 2018, and it's published in the American Thinker. In the 1960s, an informed but naive undergraduate, I was walking across the campus of the University of Pennsylvania with the chairman of the chemistry department, Professor Charles Price, who he told me that he was the president of the United World Federalist and asked if I knew what the organization was about. When I said that I did not, he replied that they believed in a one-world governance and that it would grow out of the United Nations. I was non-impulsed as I had never heard anyone suggest any such idea. To me, the United Nations was a benevolent organization dedicated to pursuing the world community in a direction of peace and the operation of charitable programs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as this particular writer spoke. And here's the further statement. Then in 2015, 70 years after this original rights-based document, and it's talking about a document the United Nations had signed, and it talked about a sustainable future. and says here, what is meant by the term sustainable? The most often quoted definition comes from the United Nations World Commission on Environment and Development. Sustainable development is development that meets the need of the present without compromising the ability of the future generations to meet their own need. The earliest ideas and ideas of the right, the freedom, equality, and justice are sustained under meeting the needs of an explicit environmentalism, which emphasizes preventing of the depletion of the scarce planetary sources. Of course, the takeoff is Marxism, the axiom from Marxism that society should be organized around the idea from each according to the ability and each according to their need. Thus, Marxism is implicit in sustainability, but the nuance by its alliance with the seemingly scientific adjustment and goals related to environmentalism. A technical jargon is welded to the Marxists intentionally to provide a source by which we can find a modern one-world global system. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're headed. It's coming through. In fact, all of the environmentalists, all of the Green New Deal would be promulgated and controlled by the United Nations. And it's designed to put America into a position of paying a high tax to the United Nations so the United Nations will be the one that calls the shot, makes the determination of where we're going. Why should I be concerned about that? Why should you be concerned about that as a Christian? Because we need to understand what's happening in the church today is one of the foreshadowing signs of where it is going in the future and what God is going to do in the very near future with the rapture of the church, with the church being snatched out of this old world. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article that says, one world government. One world government is the goal of the goal of that is very popular with the liberals, globalists, and others ranging from the moderate right to the left, far left, and with all of the nations on the earth will supposedly willingly abandon their sovereignty to the will of the United Nations or some other world governance. Liberals and globalists see this as the utopian level for mankind. Many theologically conservative Christians believe that the earth will be united under a one-world government based on Scripture, and that is exactly right. And it goes back to the fact that theologically conservative Orthodox Christians believe that the ultimate reason for the push for globalism and one-world government is a rebellion against God leading up to the Antichrist rather than submitting to God and recognizing Him as being the one that unites the world and brings peace. Liberal globalists seek to create utopia themselves and to glorify humanity rather than to glorify and to honor God. And that's where it's going, ladies and gentlemen. And I am looking at the Scripture and understand what the Scripture says in Revelation chapter 13 when it talks about the fact that this false prophet will be able to, says in verse 14, 13 and 14, and he, speaking to the false prophet, doeth great wonders so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. That's talking about the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which they should, it was wounded by the sword and did live. And he had power, authority to give life to the image of the beast, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the coming one world church, the coming globalist society and the one world church. We need to understand that God's word is given to us in print so that we would have the opportunity to study the word of God and know what's happening in the world and know what we ought to be doing today in the submission and surrender of our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ and reaching others with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you have missed the main thrust and the main point that I'm talking about today, but I'm talking about a one world governance, a one world society with a one world global church. And ladies and gentlemen, that's after the true church that the Lord Jesus Christ is raptured out. After we have been suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world, then the Antichrist will step on the scene with the false prophet. There'll be a one world religion and a one world church. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take about a minute break for our top of the hour news, and then we'll come right back with the completion of this broadcast. We're talking about the coming of the one world church.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.